Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of Hemel Hempstead. We wish, as we do, as a local Bible-believing church, we come and we declare to you the Word of God. Week by week, we come as God gives us opportunity, and time is short in this world. We're reminded in the Bible that indeed it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We read in God's Word, fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. That is to take sin lightly. We should never take sin lightly, because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. We're going to die, and death has come into the world because our first parents sinned, and we have sinned, and every person that has ever lived in this world has broken God's commandments. And so, with that verse in view, fools make a mock at sin. That is, they take sin lightly. But, again, we read in the Word of God, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, we don't want to consider the ways of man. Man has his religions in this world, and there are many, many religions in this world. We do not come this afternoon to speak to you about religion or being religious. We come to speak to you about that one true faith that God gives, and that salvation is only in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That means no man, no boy, no girl, no woman, no child. There is no entering God's heaven and eternal life apart from the Lord Jesus. For He said, I am the way, the exclusive way. My dear friends, Christianity is exclusive. Other religions will say, well, we accept the Lord Jesus. Islam will say that. We embrace Christ. We love Christ, they'll say. Well, if they loved Him, they would obey Him, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Jehovah's Witnesses deny the deity of the Lord Jesus. We see a number of Jehovah's Witnesses out here today. And the Lord Jesus indeed is very God. We're told that He made all things, and we are told that God was manifest in the flesh. God came and stepped into time, space, and history and revealed Himself. We're told in John chapter 1, verse 10, that He came into the world and He made the world, and the world knew Him not. That is, the world despised Him. And Christ proved that He is Almighty God by the very things that He did. He could raise the dead from the graves. He could heal the blind, the sick, the lame, the lepers. He did tremendous things, showing that He is God the Son. He did what was right. And friends, let me tell you this, a man will go to hell because of his sin, and if he rejects the Word of God, and he can heal. A young man passed by a minute ago and say, can he heal? Yes, he can. But the problem is with the human heart is that it loves its sin. Jesus said, men will not come to the light because they love darkness, because their deeds are evil. And I adjure you today, my heaven and earth, my friends, to hear the Word of God. Now we must see ourselves as God sees us here today. We're told that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. For the Lord weighs the spirits. Well, as we look at ourselves, we might think ourselves rather clean, as it were. Without sin, we measure ourselves up against other people, and we say something like this, well, I'm better than him, I'm better than her, I do this, I do that. But my friend, that is not the standard by which you should be measuring yourself It's foolishness to measure yourself against other people. That is folly, that is foolish. Because we will have to stand before Almighty God one day. The scriptures say that He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God cannot countenance sin. He cannot accept it. And that's why He sent His Son. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down His life for His people, to bear their sins in His own body, to suffer. What do we think of the cross? What do we think of Christ? Peter was asked that question of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Peter, who sayest that I am? Peter, who do you say that I am?" Now, many were saying that Christ was a prophet, that He was some great figure. But Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." God has one eternal Son, eternally proceeding from the Father. He came into this world and took to Himself human form. We're told in the Word of God that before the world was, He was. He is called in Scripture the Ancient of Days. Now, when we think of days, we think of time. But Christ, my friend, spans eternity past. Christ made the worlds. And He who made the worlds, He who is the Creator, became man. And here's the reason. The Bible gives the simple teaching of why. In order to redeem His people, He came as their substitute. Now we all know what a substitute is. We have a substitute on the football pitch, and he will relieve a man that is injured, a man that's hurt himself, and he must come off, and one goes in his place. Well, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, we should say, is the substitute of His people. He lived what we call a substitutionary life. He lived the life that no man ever lived. We read in the Word of God that not only was He holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners, but He knew no sin. In Him, we read, was no sin. Yes, He came under God's law. That very law that we have broken, that law that we know in our hearts, we know is wrong to steal, to lie, to commit adultery, to bear false witness. There was no lie in Christ. There was no false witness. The perfect man. He lived as Adam did. Adam was the representative of all human mankind. And Adam plunged us all into a lost estate. And we have come from Adam doing just as Adam has done, guilty of our own sins. But Christ, He is called in the Bible, He is called the last Adam. Jesus Christ, the last. He's not really the second Adam, because there could be a third Adam, but He is the last Adam, the last representative. And He lived as a representative for His people. And who are His people? Well, the Bible tells us, dear friends, they are sheep, lost sheep. What does a sheep do? It wanders around. It looks for that next blade of grass. And sometimes it can get itself into awful trouble. And that's been our life. We have lived in this world and aimed foolishly and wandered far and wide in our sin, but the Lord has His sheep to save in this world. Sheep that have sinned against God, His sheep that have grieved the Almighty, and God's justice lays firm against them. My dear friends, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And therefore, this is what He says in Matthew chapter 11 He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Only such a man can give a soul rest. Only such a man can give a soul rest that has done what God's requirements of the law demands. See, there's no rest if we have not kept God's commandments. We're told in Isaiah that the wicked, that is the unbelieving, with them there is no rest. You are constantly trying, maybe in your life, if you're somebody that is merely religious, you're constantly thinking that your good deeds will somehow outweigh your bad deeds. And let me tell you, friend, you will never have rest in your life so long as you live like that and thinking that you can meet the just requirements of God's law. It's impossible to have rest. It's impossible to be at peace with God because, first of all, you, like me, have sinned. And there is no rest. Somebody that breaks God's law will know no rest until he knows Christ. And Christ says to all of his people in the world, I don't know who they are. There may be here today some of the Lord's people that will hear the word of God. We're told in the word of God that his word will not return unto him void. And his sheep will hear. And they will hear those words, come unto me, and I will give you rest. My sinner friend, the only approach to God is through Christ. Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is entirely of grace. It is the free gift of God to his people who gladly receive and who feel no rest as they see their lives filled with sin. The pages of your life, the hours of your life, the minutes, as you look at your life and as you examine each hour, you understand that you are weighed down with guilt and shame, and the law of God comes heavily upon you, just as you would stand before a guilty judge in a great tribunal and a great court, and you know the verdict is about to be given. And what is the verdict? The verdict is guilty. Guilty. All are guilty, friend. The Bible says, every mouth is silenced before God. For man is guilty. God, my friends, would impugn his justice if he did not deal with sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, my friends, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he says to his people, come unto me, all ye that labor. You're laboring under your sin. You feel weighed down. It's not talking about working in a shop. It's not talking about laboring in this world for the things of this world. You're laboring to have peace with God. And you cannot have peace with God apart from Christ. And Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor. The address is to those who are laboring, who are burdened under their sin. The great trouble of this world, as I said at the opening of my message, is that the world makes a mock at sin. It treats sin lightly and despises the idea that God is holy. Men like the idea that God is all accommodating. What would you like to go to heaven with people who will go on in their sin? My friend, sin will be dealt with in heaven because God's people will be changed completely. But they are people who are changed now in this life, in this time. God begins a gracious work in them. They come to Christ. And he begins to give them rest now. Rest from their sin. He gives a new heart, my friends. He gives a new life. He gives new meaning. He gives purpose. He gives all the things necessary for life and godliness. They're all found in Christ. And all he says is to his sheep, come. And they receive of him grace for more grace. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He is bearing the yoke. And he says, come under that yoke. It is easy, he says. It is light. Want more of Christ? He said, learn of me. When you become a Christian, you learn of God. You learn of Christ. You learn the right way. He is so gracious. We have to relearn so much when we become a Christian. You have to realize that, as Paul said, in me dwells no good thing. We learn not to trust ourselves. We learn to depend upon God. And he teaches us this day by day how patient, how kind. He said, I am meek and lowly and gentle of heart. My dear friends, as you come to Christ, you do not come to a hard taskmaster. You come to a gentle, lowly one. Now, you and I often, when we think of God, we think of his omnipotence, we think of his power. But he is also gentle and lowly. And how gracious he is with sinners, my friends. See how he deals with Mary. Wiping his feet with her tears and her hair. How he receives sinners. My dear friends, this is how you must come, as a sinner. And the Lord comes, and he does a gracious work in a soul. Other religions will require that you do X, Y, and Z. You do these things in order to come to God. But you come with all your sin, with all your guilt, with all your shame. Christ says, come unto me, to all of his sheep, dirty, filthy though they may be, and I will give you rest. He washes them. We read in Isaiah, he takes the wandering sheep and he places it in his arms and he carries that sheep home. The Lord Jesus is very gracious. He's very kind. He's very loving. He is called the tender shepherd. There's that psalm that we sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. My friend, when you become a Christian, God comes to live and he comes to abide in your heart, and you're never alone again. The Lord is a very gracious Lord, and he says to his sheep, come and I will give you rest. The very one who made the heavens and the earth, the Bible says all things were made by him and for him, and without him nothing that is made was made. The very creator of the world became man, humbled himself, the Bible says, and became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. It's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it, that the creator of the world should become man. This is why the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything else but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, there have been many great things that have happened in this world. Many great things, but the greatest of all things, when the angels glorified God because he became man. All for man's sin. That's the amazing thing. And you know, after the cross, he went to the tomb. And that tomb, that grave is empty, my friends. That grave is empty. Because in that grave was the sinless one. The Bible says the grave could not hold him because he was without sin. Having borne the sin of his people, they will never bear it. They will come. Everyone will come. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and he that comes unto me I shall in no wise cast out. That's a wonderful reality. For the Christian, he has peace. Christians have a wonderful peace. Though they know they're sinners, they have peace with God. peace with God now. I know I'm going to heaven, not because I think I'm a good man. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a wretched sinner. But I have a wonderful Savior who loved me and gave himself for me. My hope of heaven is Jesus Christ. We sometimes sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My friend, if you are without Christ, you're on sinking sand. And it's a matter of time before you leave this world and you stand before the Almighty God. For the Lord says, and he cries through his word to his people, come, and I will give you rest. Would you come to the church services this coming Lord's Day tomorrow? We're a local Bible-believing church, friends. We meet on the corner of Red Lion Lane and Lower Road in Nash Mills. The morning service is at 10:30 a.m. and the evening service is at 6 p.m. And we would be so glad to see you and to tell you more about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a very simple Bible-believing church. Warm people who love the Lord and who love his word. Come hear the word of God. Do take a tract. We've got people from the church here handing out tracts. If you'd like one, I would encourage you to take one. If you'd like to know more, please do come and speak to us, and we'd be glad to point you to the way of salvation as it is in Christ. Only he can give rest for the soul, my friend. Seek him now while he may be found. May the Lord bless his word. Thank you for listening.